Hey, welcome in. Time for Saturday Daily Editor, Friday Daily Editorial. Jimmy and I are done recording. Got a great show for you this weekend. We have kind of a fun editorial to do that Jimmy came up with. Some of the really weirdos that have security clearances who are involved with the Biden administration. The story that I think is really funny is Jim uncovered a story about Brittany Griner. She was not the person who supposedly Biden was negotiating for, the government was negotiating for to be released. Jimmy, let's hear that story first.
So what information is coming out right now is that the Biden administration was negotiating because of Brittany Griner, the WNBA player, because of her conviction and then imprisonment in Russia for having, you know, cannabis product I think it was a Juul or something, like electric cigarette or something like that.
No, it was actually a little bit of pot that a doctor.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah,
cannabis. A doctor had prescribed it for her for pain.
Which is
pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's illegal there. They arrested her for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they sentenced her to 9 years in prison, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of pressure to get her out, but there's also a lot of pressure to get a guy named Paul Whelan.
Yeah.
Paul Whelan was a security, kind of the security chief for a company that was operating in Moscow. And he was arrested in 2018. He's been held 4 years.
Yeah, he was featured on the nightly news last night.
Yeah. And so basically, the deal that was going forward was, according to the latest reports, the Russians were going to do this change for Victor Bout. Victor Bout is the guy that Nicolas Cage made the movie Lord of War about, a Russian arms dealer, a former Soviet lieutenant colonel in their army.
Really not a good guy, by the way.
Yeah, well, he was an arms dealer, and he was selling arms to the FARC in Colombia and actually selling to different organizations to kill American soldiers.
Yeah.
So he was arrested, I believe, and convicted in 2013. He's been in prison. You know, hey, you can say what you will, good guy, bad guy, it doesn't matter. But they cut the deal to release Brittany Griner, and the White House said, well, Paul Whelan was on a different level, so they wouldn't negotiate. And that's what the White House said, and that's what Biden basically has said. But it turns out, according to reports from NBC and others, that in fact the Russians had offered either Brittany Griner or Paul Whelan for Victor Bout for this exchange. So the Biden administration goes with the America-hating, I'm not going to stand for the national anthem WNBA player Brittany Griner, and leaves the four-year incarcerated Paul Whelan, who's been charged basically for espionage, mm-hmm. but with no evidence and no proof. So it kind of shows something weird. But here's an even more interesting story. Two days before this deal was cut, and oh, by the way, it was cut while the Russians and the U.S. were actually negotiating through Saudi Arabia. The Biden administration gets a judge to give Mohammed bin Salman, the prince in Saudi Arabia that's basically in charge of the country that has been yelled at by the left for killing the Saudi journalist Khashoggi in Turkey. They gave him, the Justice Department fought and got approved immunity for MBS.
Not for
Khashoggi, for bin Salman.
Okay.
So they got immunity for bin Salman. 2 days later, the Russians cut this deal to let Griner go, but then the administration and leave this Marine behind. So there's a lot of weird things that went on here, and it really just looks of, just smacks of, you know, stupidity by the Biden administration, actually political stupidity and just basically inconsistency with all their policies across the board.
Why would you say political stability? Political stupidity, Jim?
Well, look, how many people, when you start weighing it, Brittany Griner has been very strong, you know, anti-U.S., you know, speaker, using free speech to attack the U.S.
Yeah.
So a lot of Americans are kind of like, okay. And then she actually had the drugs when she went into Russia. So, I mean, based on their law, there was a legitimate complaint there. Now, it was pretty harsh, and I don't think it was valid to put her in jail for that, but that's their law.
Yeah.
You know, in Thailand, you were in Indonesia, you're actually, you know, executed for transmitting drugs. So there are different laws around the world that we accept and tolerate. But in this particular case, because of the political pressure, but that political pressure was pushed specifically by a very small advocacy group that has been very powerful and very vocal from the extreme left.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you leave a Marine behind. It appears that the White House actually lied about the potential negotiations to get him out, that they could have got him out, and then maybe down the road negotiated a deal with Brittany Griner if they wanted to, or, you know, some other situation, because she had just basically started her sentence. This guy's been in jail being held there for, you know, 4 years on very dubious circumstances. So the question becomes for them politically, what's it worth to you to really offend about a big percentage of Americans? And that's why I think it's a politically damaging decision and an embarrassment from the Biden administration. Oh, and by the way, it sets a very bad precedent that they will be willing to negotiate for their, you know, their progressive socialist ideologues that hate America, you know, and they'll leave the loyal, you know, guys that are willing to fight for America behind.
Yeah.
You know, how much confidence do military soldiers have in the Department of Defense right now?
Probably not a lot.
No. And of course, thankfully, they dropped the mandate for vaccines. So maybe there'll be some more that are willing to step up, the ones that are actually would be considering it. But I would say you got to be very thoughtful before you get involved in supporting the policies that this administration has put forward.
Give me some specific examples, Jim, would you?
Well, I mean, what the heck? You know, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan. Friends of mine died there. Many friends were wounded. All of us, you know, carry a legacy of some, you know, watching a lot of death and destruction there.
Right.
And then we walk away and let it fall. So how do you feel as a soldier if you fought there and your friends died there, you know? Pretty let down. When, in fact, we had won that war. It was over with. All we had to do was maintain a little bit of stability, a little bit of support for the government for them to go forward. You know, we didn't need to be there forever. It was up to them, but we didn't need to do what we did, and we certainly walked away terribly. So, yeah, that's very frustrating. Telling soldiers that they've got to take a vaccination that actually is a potential threat for young males because of myocarditis, pericarditis, that's incredibly damaging to trust and faith.
They did renege on that one, though.
The Department of Defense and the Biden administration did not renege on it. Congress forced them to renege on it. And they actually haven't done it yet. They haven't actually got the bill through. It's only been in the NDAA. The requirement was dropped in the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Act. So we'll see what happens with that. But that bothers me a lot.
As a dyed-in-the-wool veteran who's seen combat, et cetera, who has spent a large amount of time in combat areas in the Middle East. I understand your point completely. I do.
No, it's just it's heart-wrenching. And of course, for anybody that fought, you know, 10 years in Vietnam, pretty heart-wrenching to watch that too. But a very different set of processes, a very different set. You know, we stopped fighting in 1972.
Yeah.
You know, Vietnam kind of collapsed on its own in 1975. And, you know, here we had, look, that there was, you know, 85,000 Afghan Taliban overtook a 300,000 man Afghan government army because we stopped supplying and we stopped supporting them. And, you know, you need generations to establish actually the institutions that will carry forward. And, you know, we got into it because of 9/11. We got into it because Al-Qaeda was hiding there. To me, that was a justifiable reason. A lot of people may not agree with that, but I think that was a justifiable reason to get involved in it. And if we get involved in a war, win it or don't get in it.
Yeah.
Win it or don't get in it. That's right. My position.
No, I agree 100% with that. I mean, if you're going to, if the United States is going to put soldiers in harm's way for example, in the Middle East. You've got to be serious about that. It isn't something that you can just take kind of nonchalantly, because human lives are at stake. Whether we should have done that or whether we should not have done that is totally a different subject. But because the fact of the matter is, the Department of Defense did that.
And the the administration did it. And the Department of Defense's job is to win it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have a lot of cowards that don't know how to win anymore.
Yeah.
Again, we should not be involved in things that we're not going to have an impact on.
I agree.
Don't waste our time and effort. If we need to get involved, it better be the last case to use, absolutely the last thing you need to do is use military force.
Yeah.
Every other option, and it better be a direct threat to Americans.
Yeah.
And
not just a direct threat to Americans in the specific region, but a direct threat to the country, like a 9/11 situation.
Yeah, I think, you've got to be able to protect American citizens around
exactly.
the world.
Exactly, yeah.
And when, American interests, and that's our national identity. That's what we need to be able to do. We need to protect our sovereignty
sure.
and our businesses and our individuals.
Yeah.
In this Brittany Griner exchange with Victor Bout, it looks like we picked the wrong choice. I think that's politically damaging. Not nearly as politically damaging as the stupidity with Sam Brinton, this Deputy Assistant Secretary of Energy for the Office of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposal, the guy that gets rid of our nuclear waste.
Yeah.
Transvestite, wearing clothes, freak, does special shows on puppy fetishes, all kinds of crazy stuff, wears dresses to work. Absolutely, in my mind, this guy should never have had a security clearance or a job. Guess what? He's been arrested twice on felony theft, stealing women's suitcases.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, charged, initially lied to law enforcement and said, I didn't take anything. I didn't. And then called back and said, I'm sorry, I may have gotten this bag. Never really returned the things that he stole, which apparently was a very expensive suitcase and some expensive clothes.
Wow.
Now he just got caught doing it again in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
He's charged for the same thing. Now, what kind of embarrassment should that be with this administration? But you know what? Democrats don't care. They'll do anything. They pick people that are absolute nut jobs and losers.
Yeah.
And they raise them up. And they end up like Michael Avenatti in jail for 14 years.
Yeah.
Again. Like Andrew Gillum, who gets fined in a homosexual act on the floor, stoned out of his mind in a hotel room in Florida.
Yeah.
The guy that was going to be the new governor against DeSantis of Florida, the Democrats supported.
Yeah.
You get Beto O'Rourke, complete loser. Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein. Stacey Abrams, you start naming the people the Democrats have raised up on a flag to say, hey, these are heroes, they're continually falling and no one cares. They're in jail. A lot of them are in jail. No one cares.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Well, I guess all I can say is that power doth have its privileges, and that's kind of a shame. No question about that. I mean, the fact of the matter isn't necessarily that this guy in Vegas was a cross-dresser. The fact of the matter is you have a high government official who was stealing private property, okay? And that's not right. That very definitely isn't right. Anything else you want to talk about, Jimmy?
Oh, those are the exciting things.
Those are the big ones.
The big ones. For today, and of course, we'll talk some more about Ukraine. We'll talk about... We're going to talk about censorship. Oh, there is one more thing that we're going to talk a lot about tomorrow, about censorship, about on the weekend show.
Yeah.
On Elon Musk on Twitter. And, of course, this lawsuit with Louisiana and Missouri against the Biden administration.
Yeah.
And one important thing that I didn't mention for those that are going to listen to those segments tomorrow, the FBI representative, the actual FBI officer that was responsible for their information and foreign threats of basically propaganda, admitted under oath in the Missouri testimony. His name is, the FBI agent is Elvis Chan.
Yeah.
He admitted under oath that they met, the Homeland Security and the FBI officials met weekly with tech industry in order to silence and use government influence to shape information, including COVID, including Hunter Biden, including, you know, numerous things that have turned out to be not misinformation, but valuable information that shaped the outcome of the 2020 election.
Well, the only comment I can make is I really feel, for various reasons that I've discussed in the past, that we need a change in the administration because our country is very definitely going downhill.
We need a change in Washington that's deep. The swamp is super deep.
Yeah.
I mean, and when you're walking around in the swamp, you better be careful because,
exactly.
Oh my gosh, this is going to, you know.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about Kristen Sinema tomorrow. So
talk about what?
Kristen Sinema and her change.
That's all over the papers today. Yeah, all over today. Left the Democratic Party. What was the reason, by the way, that she left the party, Jim?
Well, her position was that, hey, party politics do not represent the Arizonans.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of being holier than thou, in my view.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, got to be very careful because the swamp is deep.
Yeah.
It really puts Kristen Sinema in a very powerful position. So she can play both ends of the spectrum.
Right.
She can lobby and put pressure on Republicans or Democrats, depending on what she wants.
Yeah.
She will be the turning point of power in the Senate. And I think that is, there's probably more to the story than her just goodwill and good heart.
Oh, there probably is. There's no question about that. Okay, Jimmy, you got it off your chest. Thank you very much.
You bet, Al.
You guys, we're going to be back tomorrow with the radio program. And who knows, if something comes up, there is about 100% chance that we'll do an editorial on it. Thanks.